The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show featuring Gogo the Chimp. Nothing like a chimp to liven up the radio show. Easy there. Go-go, go-go. No, go-go, no!
Folks, welcome to Hour 2. I continue my conversation with Scott Phelps, who's the Executive Director of the Abstinence and Marriage Education Partnership. And, you know, it's funny, Scott, we're talking about some really basic stuff. But the culture has gone so crazy over the decades. I mean, the most normal thing in the world is for young men and young women to have sexual urges, to have romantic longings, and to say, I want to find that person that God would have me unite with in marriage for life. And we want to have children. We want to raise a family. It's so beautiful and it's so natural. And that message has been denigrated and denigrated and denigrated, mocked, as though that's for rubes. What you ought to do is just have sex with as many people as you can, do whatever you want, and yeah, maybe at some point get married, but who even cares? It's just become so confusing for so many people. And, you know and I know and many people know, marriage is God's plan for most people. Sex within marriage is always God's plan for sex. But what I even find actually is many evangelicals, many people who say, oh, I'm an evangelical Christian, I love Jesus, they talk about kids as though that's an option. Even though they're married, they kind of act like, well, we didn't want to have kids till, we were financially more secure. And, so 10 years into our marriage, we decide to have kids. And I think that even divorcing the idea of kids from marriage, people think like, well, we want to have time together before we have a family. Even that is it can be selfish, and it can actually lead to its own problems. So we're talking about God's moral order, this natural order, and we've gotten very far from it. And so even within the church, I find that people act like, contraception, choosing how many kids I want to have or whatever. They've really, I guess my point is, they've separated marriage and sex from family. They've kind of acted like these are different things.
Well, so demographic winter is a real thing that we're concerned about, right? In fact, the three things that really animate our work are, number one, the non-marital birth rate at 40%. So 40% of American children born outside the context of a marriage relationship. That's number one. Number two is marriage rates at an all-time low. We have continuing decline in the marriage rates. And then number three, the declining fertility rates. Those three things are what I call unsustainable trends. Now, look, I could go on for an hour or more about what's wrong with sex education, what our kids are being exposed to. You can watch libs of TikTok. You can see what's going on in our school classrooms. The question is, what do we do about it? What's the solution? And our program is all about that. It's about educating a new generation of American youth. We've reached over 2 million kids in the years that we've been doing this now. This is our 20th anniversary. And we have been quietly and systematically helping young people across America understand the benefits of marriage and family. And Eric, I got to tell you, the response on the part of kids when they hear this message is over the moon. Here's what a girl in a Chicago public school said some years ago when we presented this message. She said this: I think saving sex for marriage is a great idea. I never thought of that before. That's what I want to do. Ding, 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 ding. This girl represents a generation of young people who have not rejected the message of abs of waiting until marriage. They've never heard it. And what we want to do is give it to them clear. We believe that this message ought to be the primary message taught in health class in public schools, Christian schools, Catholic schools, private schools, all over America. Kids should be learning. Marriage is good. It's the cornerstone of culture. This year, we're launching the National Marriage Campaign to help young people understand and appreciate why marriage matters and why it's good for you, good for your spouse, good for your children, good for your community, and good for the culture. We need to teach this well to our kids. That's what we're all about.
And I think we need to send the message to young women that if a young man wants to sleep with you, but he hasn't proposed marriage to you, he doesn't love you.
That's right. That's
right. He doesn't value you. Why would you give something sacred, something meant for the man who would die for you, who would give you his whole life? It's meant for him, for only that kind of a man. Why would you give it to someone who is nothing like that man? Why would you give it to somebody who is effectively using you, even though he may not even himself be aware of that? This is a pretty basic thing. If somebody is not offering you his whole life, he is not worthy of you to the extent that you would sleep with him. It's an amazing thing that we don't talk about that anymore.
That's right. And what we want to help young people understand is that you are valuable and special and beautiful and worth waiting for. And we want to help them understand not that sex is a bad thing to be avoided, but a beautiful, wonderful thing to be cherished and treasured and reserved. And look, what we value, we protect, right? And so we put our money in a safe or a vault and we lock it and we protect it. And your sexuality is the same thing. It's rare, it's beautiful, it's valuable. And these are the concepts and principles that we're teaching young people all across America, that you need to understand the beauty and the value of marriage and why waiting for it is so important.
If people are listening right now and they say, I want to find you, Scott Phelps, and I want to find the Abstinence and Marriage Education Partnership online, where can people go?
They can go to nationalmarriagecampaign.com, nationalmarriagecampaign.com, and they can join the movement. That's exactly what we do. We actually equip teachers, pastors, parents to teach these things to their kids. We're not dealing directly with kids as much as we are adults, and very much along the lines, like I said, of your book, which I thought was fantastic. It's calling us off of the sidelines and into the challenges in front of us to rescue a generation of American youth that need to be rescued from the crazy that's happening to them in our culture.
Well, and I want to be clear again, you know, the older I get, the more sense this makes to me that God created us for marriage and sex within marriage. And there's something about that. The idea of experiencing sex outside of marriage, I would actually argue that outside of marriage, it is not really genuine sex, that there's something missing.
It's a completely different experience.
And you're really talking about it's an onanistic, solipsistic experience outside of marriage. Even though another person is involved, it's simply not the same as when two people who have given themselves to each other in marriage for life, it's an extraordinarily different thing when you take it out of that context.
That's right.
It's broken. There's a brokenness there. It's sad. And I also think, too, about what I mentioned earlier, is that the idea of only knowing sex through your spouse, there's something amazing about that. There's something beautiful about that. That's God's intention. And we live in a culture just suffused with sexual imagery, and it's really destroyed that. And it's important for us to understand this is God's plan. This is God's first best for us. And it's not meant to prevent us from having fun or enjoying us. On the contrary, it's meant to bless us. We've got to leave it there. Folks, go to nationalmarriagecampaign.com, nationalmarriagecampaign.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Eric.
Oh, it was beautiful, magical, and all the birds in the trees, they'd be singing so happily.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture, but as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. There's six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC. Remember as a kid, your parents and grandparents making you try all the vegetables on your plate, or when they coax you to eat fruit instead of sweets? That's because they knew what was good for you, and it's truer today than ever before. You need to eat your fruits and veggies. There's no substitute for a healthy diet, but there is Balance of Nature. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. If you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely try Balance of Nature today. Eat your fruits and veggies every single day with Balance of Nature. I started taking Balance of Nature the day I decided I was ready to feel better. Are you ready to start? Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code ERIC to get the special offer of 35% off. Call them at 800-2468-751 and use discount code ERIC, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code ERIC to get 35% off. I'll say it again, 800-2468-751. Use discount code ERIC, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code ERIC to get 35% off. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com. Legacypminvestments.com. Check it out. Welcome back. I have today a guest from Alabama. His name is Eric Swithin. Eric, welcome.
Welcome.
What part of Alabama?
Florence, Alabama.
What's that near?
Well, Nashville, Tennessee is 2 hours north and Birmingham's 2 hours south.
Really?
Yep.
So you're kind of hard to get to.
A little bit.
Right?
Yeah, we're a little bit out there.
Where do you fly from?
Out of Nashville.
So you drove 2 hours to Nashville to fly here?
I did. Yeah. A little bit different than cornfields and soybean fields.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm glad you're here. We have a lot of friends in common. Most of them have the first name Joe.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
How many Joes can we mention? Joe Battaglia? Joe Pellegrino? Any other Joes?
Joe Montana?
No. Okay, so you're here to talk about... Let me read this because it will help frame our conversation. You served 4 years in the Marine Corps. You received your BA in economics from Rice University, Master of Arts in Theology and Ministry from Fuller Theological Seminary. You spent 3 years as a youth pastor before going full-time with the Alliance. Your heart's desire is to be a father to the fatherless, to guide boys into manhood, and to help men encounter God by participating in his mission. So the Alliance is a network of Christ-centered ministries across the U.S. committed to ending the fatherless epidemic through mentorship. There is no bigger problem in America than young men without fathers. There's no doubt about that. The statistics prove that that is the source of a lot of trouble. How did you find your way into this? Do you have kids yourself?
I do. I have biological kids and I have adopted kids, but how I found my way into it is this. I should be dead or in prison. I grew up on the streets. I've been stabbed. I've had guns pointed at me. I've been shot at. I've been through so many things in my life. And in hindsight, looking back, I realized the fact that my father wasn't there harmed me in more ways than one. And it's given me a heart for the fatherless. I believe that at the roots of our societal ills lies the problem of fatherlessness.
So you've experienced this yourself.
I have.
So did you grow up in the place where you are now?
I did not.
Where'd you grow up?
In California.
In California. And so your father was not in the home?
He was not in the picture much. And when he was, it wasn't necessarily a good thing by any means. And so that's the problem with fatherlessness, right? It's not just there is no dad. That is the case many times. But one of the statistics that's overlooked are all the fathers that are totally emotionally absent, addicted to sports, addicted to their careers. They have lost their way. They have no idea how to be a dad. And with each passing generation, that gets worse, right? Because if your dad didn't know how to do that, then obviously you're going to portray the same characteristics he did, absent in the home, not tender, not emotionally present in their kids' lives.
So you talk about growing up on the streets, getting stabbed. So how do you transition from that? Was it the Marines that kind of pulled you out of the fire?
I wish it had. You know, ultimately, I was looking for validation. I was looking to be initiated into manhood. Many years ago, 50 years ago plus in the West, we stopped initiating boys into manhood. There was no longer a rite of passage. And so it's ingrained in our DNA to have those types of things passed on by a father, to say that you're good enough and you have what it takes and this is what it means to be a man and for us to take the baton and move forward, right? So I didn't have that. So let me try that with being the baddest dude I can in the streets. Let me see what that looks like in the Marine Corps and try to be the hero on the battlefield. Let me do that in business. Let me do that in anything but what is actually what we're designed to do. And so, and then really the ultimate wound, and this is why I believe this isn't just a political thing, it's also a spiritual and emotional thing. I had no idea how to relate to God as Father. I thought he was a distant deity who takes off his belt quickly and flogs me every time I mess up. I had no idea what it meant to have a tender Father that I can go to that would understand and would be forgiving and loving.
It's fascinating when you talk about that because, I mean, I've heard this kind of thing so often that people who have not had good experiences with their earthly fathers have difficulty having a relationship with their heavenly father because the idea of father, I mean, let's put it this way. You know, one of the reasons we have earthly fathers, it's God's way of helping us to relate to him as father. Like there's no doubt that that is, you know, one of the principal functions of a father being a father. And it's kind of like the office of fatherhood, right? Like it's this sacred thing. Even if you're bad at it or whatever, it's this sacred thing that every father needs to sort of inhabit it as a sacred office. It's a beautiful thing, and it's vital. And again, statistics. Even if you don't know God or you don't talk about God, you just look at statistics. Statistics show that if there's not a father in the home, it leads to every kind of trouble, as I said earlier. So yeah, what was your way in to all this stuff? And I mean, you know, you said the Marine Corps did not pull you out. It sounds like you had a rough upbringing, but to end up going to the Marine Corps and then go into Rice and be an econ major, how did that happen that you began to, you know, kind of get out of the death spiral that it seems like you were in?
Well, ultimately, I found Christ at 18, and I had radical encounters with God himself, miraculous encounters, and I went all in for him. In fact, my nickname in the Marine Corps was Rev, short for Reverend. And so here I am, this gung-ho Christian, ready to go onto the battlefield in Iraq. We took 17 cities over there. We saw tremendous things. And I had no idea how to cope. So just like in Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve, you know, they run and hide and cover up their nakedness, I did not run to my loving Father, God, with all of these issues that I was dealing with. I went back to my old coping mechanisms. And just to be honest with you, man to man, I was broken by the war, emotionally.
Even though you were a Christian at that time.
I was. And going back to my old coping mechanisms left me incredibly broken and lost and feeling horrible. And I cried out to God once again to help me. And he did. and I met with him again in a profound and supernatural way. And through that healing process, I learned, especially in the book of John, chapter 15, 16, and 17, that he is a loving father. He's the most loving father we could ever imagine. And through that healing process, I realized that there are a lot of kids out there just like me. In fact, that's the majority of children's experience in the United States right now. And so that thing that broke me now became fuel for compassion to go and help these kids.
And where did you, so you became a Christian at age 18. Where were you in life at that point that you became a Christian? In other words, it sounds like you were going through some rough stuff in your teens. What happened?
I was a business guy working on the 58th floor of the Chase Tower in downtown Houston as a consultant for Big Oil.
At age 18?
No, in my late 20s.
No, I'm talking about before, when you were 18, mm-hmm. right? What was that first encounter? I just want to start there.
Well, I was ready to end my life. And I had no religious context or upbringing whatsoever. And in that moment, before I ended my life, I called out to God, whoever you are. If you show me that I mean anything to you, if I have any purpose or any reason for being here, show me, tell me, and I'll give you my life. And he did show me.
I'm glad I asked that question. That's dramatic.
Yeah.
You were going to take your life.
I was going to take my life.
At age 18.
Yes.
And so God somehow miraculously spoke to you.
He did.
I mean, can you share that, or is that just too complicated?
It's not complicated at all. I knew that I was in the presence of God, and there is nothing anyone could ever tell me that I wasn't. I knew that he was holy, is holy, and I knew that I am not. And supernaturally, he revealed to me that the only way to bridge that gap is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He revealed himself to me on the cross. The image was him, hands on the cross, saying, I love you this much. And I realized that if I was to accept him, I knew I needed a savior. I didn't know what that meant, but I knew that I needed saving. And so I accepted that offer, and immediately I was welcomed.
So that's at age 18.
That's 18.
Okay, so you have this really born-again, dramatic conversion experience. And I think it's important for people to understand, like, you know, we can't create a formula. So, like, there's no doubt that that happened. But it doesn't mean you might not have trouble. It doesn't mean you might not have, you know, what we call backsliding or whatever it was. So here you go into the Marines, and seeing the nightmare of war undoes you and brings you to a very, very bad place. And, I mean, I think a lot of people who have come to faith, they need to understand that can happen. You don't want it to happen, but it can happen. But then God can get you again, and he did somehow. So where were you? You know, when you said that the war broke you, were you walking with God after that, or did you turn away from God at that point?
I was going to bed feeling guilty every night because I was coping in all my own ways. Recently my daughter, sweet little 7-year-old daughter, climbs into my lap and confesses that she'd rolled her eyes at the babysitter. And she said, Daddy, I asked her for forgiveness and I put myself in time out. But she didn't run, and she didn't hide, and she didn't cover herself up. So essentially, that's what I ended up doing. I ended up finally going, you know what? I need to run to God. I need to stop using these coping mechanisms. And that's what I did. I cried out to him again, and I had almost an identical experience.
And how old were you at that point? This late 20s?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back talking to Eric Swithin, who is with the Alliance.
Just a smile. A rich old man. She won't have to worry. She'll dress up all the lace.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to Patriot.com. patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Metaxas. Join me. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Metaxas.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's NutraMedix.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedics, NutraMedix.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Welcome back. Talking to Eric Swithin. And I want to tell people to go to fatherlessepidemic.com. We'll mention that again, fatherlessepidemic.com. So in your late 20s, you go back to God. And what happens at that point? How does that lead you into wanting to minister to young men?
Well, almost immediately, God led me to seminary. He gave me an unquenchable thirst for studying the Bible and learning and being equipped to serve others. And then as a part of my practicum, which is kind of like an internship during seminary, I'm volunteering my time in the inner city in Houston. In fact, the soccer field that we're playing on with these little kids, a little boy was burned alive for $30 in his wallet. I mean, this was a rough area. And so ultimately, I started playing with these kids and realizing these kids are a lot like I was. And the problem I was seeing in ministry was that these kids are being fed pizza, they're teaching them the Bible, they're playing basketball, but there's no real discipleship taking place. These kids aren't telling their friends about Jesus. They're not changing their life. They're still growing up on welfare. They're going to continue to die young or go to prison. And there needed to be something done on a deeper level with them.
And so how does that get us to the fatherlessepidemic.com? In other words, it's been quite some time that you've been working in this world of trying to reach young men. So keep going.
Well, it started with me having an encounter with God up in the Rocky Mountains that led to my healing process. It was, you know, turning off the cell phone and getting into nature and seeking God and being in a place of quiet and peace and solitude. I'm like, you know, what would that look like if I brought these kids up into the mountains with me? And I did. And the first trip were kids from the hood. I mean, these kids were in a really dark place. One of them was a Hispanic child. One of them was an African-American child. They were hugging each other around the fire pit at night for over an hour straight, crying, weeping over the fact that they didn't have a dad and just all that they had been through. Now, these are kids that could be shooting at each other, and here they are hugging and embracing. And so the light bulb went off, and that's led us to kind of help with other fatherless ministries across the nation with the goal of having a fatherless ministry in every county in the U.S. by 2029. And really going back to 1959 statistics, where fatherlessness was less than 6%. And so now how do we do that? We do that by the church and specifically men in the church rising up and doing something about it, not only raising their own kids and being good daddies, but also being willing to take in that other kid on the football team whose dad is never there because he's not on the sidelines because he's not in his life, or being willing to go over the railroad tracks to that local ministry that's pouring into those types of kids and being willing to mentor those kids and become a spiritual father to them and show them that they don't have to repeat the same path that their own dads did. They can be good fathers themselves.
So what are you doing day to day now? In other words, you mentioned the Alliance, fatherlessepidemic.com. In other words, is that the name of the ministry? What's the ministry that you're involved with?
Our CAM ministry is Outdoor Adventures, outdooradventures.com. The Alliance for Ending the Fatherless Epidemic is at fatherlessepidemic.org. And really, it transpired from us creating a film called The Fatherless Epidemic. And it's done pretty well. You can find that at fatherlessepidemic.com. You can also find our new Fatherhood, Faithful Fatherhood course on the homepage of that site. It'll be coming out on Father's Day. But because we've done well as a camp ministry for the fatherless, other ministries are starting to collaborate. We're starting to work together to chip away at this. So what do I do now? I want to educate everyone in this country that this is the root of so many of our societal ills.
It's fascinating because, I mean, in 1965, Senator Moynihan in New York put out a paper talking about it was the breakdown of the family in the inner city that was leading to all these problems. And at that point, I mean, it's amazing because we're talking 60 years ago, a decision was made like, nope, we're not interested in that. We're going to solve this with, you know, money, with creating the Great Society, with the war on poverty. We're going to solve this as though it's a different problem. We're going to pretend that that's not the problem, that fatherlessness is not the problem, breakdown of the family is not the problem. And not only did they ignore the problem, but by throwing money at it, they made it worse because they made fathers less necessary. A woman could say, I don't need you, get out. I got my welfare check. I don't care. It just is amazing that government was used as a force of evil to destroy, you know, in this case, particularly the black family. But that's been going on for many decades.
Absolutely. And you could say in economics, it's a perverse incentive. Say, hey, if you marry a man that has a job, we're not going to give you benefits anymore. You've literally incentivized fatherlessness.
Yeah.
And it really, 1964, the Great Society, that is when it started. But here's the thing. A lot of people will pass over this, and I wish they wouldn't. But that's about the same time that the church also started outsourcing their responsibilities. So who started the hospitals? Who started the seminaries? Who started the orphanages? It was the church. The church was responsible for taking care of orphans. And around that time in the 60s and moving on, the church started to outsource that to the government and say, listen, you can have, those are your responsibilities. And that's when everything that we see today really started to unwind.
Well, that's fascinating. And this is kind of, you know, where we are now. The government, the bigger government gets, the more it becomes the enemy of God and the people of God because it's competing with God. It says, we're the government. We're going to take the role, take the place of God. We're going to do everything that's needed. And we can kind of see where that has brought us as a nation. I mean, it leads to all kinds of problems. We're going to go to a break. Folks, you can go to thefatherlessepidemic.com, or the film is The Fatherless Epidemic, and the website is fatherlessepidemic.com. You can also check out outdooradventures.com, outdooradventures.com, fatherlessepidemic.com. I will continue talking to Eric Swithin when we come back. You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture, but as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. There's six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC. I'm talking to Eric Swithin, who is with the fatherlessepidemic.com. You can go to fatherlessepidemic.com, and you're with the Alliance. This you mentioned this Faithful Fatherhood course. Let's talk about that. I mean, is this the way that you want to spread these ideas through this course?
Absolutely. You know, when orphanages were started by Christians back in the day, they didn't need the government's permission. I don't know why we're looking to create all kinds of change through the government alone. I think it's important to have Christians in political positions to talk about these systemic issues, for sure. I'm not discrediting that, but I think it's the church's responsibility. Right. It's our responsibility to do that. So one of the ways we want to do that is we want fathers to be better fathers. And another way we want to do that is we want fathers to also be willing to mentor and disciple other young people that don't have a father in their life and teach them what it means to follow Jesus and teach them what it means to be a functioning member of society, that God has a purpose for their life. Mm. And so this course is designed to do that. It's a 52-week video curriculum with some unbelievable speakers and teachers in it. And it's something that I think every men's ministry and every church in our country should jump on board.
The Faithful Fatherhood Course. Well, how can people find that now?
Yeah, if you go to fatherlessepidemic.com on the homepage, you can actually pre-register for its release, which will be around Father's Day.
Okay, so the release is Father's Day, mm-hmm. and you have to go to fatherlessepidemic.com. And so the Faithful Fatherhood course is designed for what? For churches to do as a curriculum, or what is it? What is it for?
I think it works best for men's ministries and small groups to do. We're really teaching fathers how to be better daddies, how to better communicate with their kids and connect with them deeply, how to help initiate their kids into adulthood, how to be tender and loving, and we're using Father God as the model for all of it. But also how to engage missionally. There's this really cool report that was done in academia. Why are kids leaving the faith? So kids that are raised in church, when they hit 18 and they leave the home, 85% of them are leaving the faith. And one of the main reasons that's happening, and I believe this is true, is fathers are not demonstrating mission. And so when they go to college or they go somewhere else, they're seeing social justice mission. They're seeing actual results, people that are doing good things in the world. Social justice is on every corner, but they should have seen it modeled in the home through the church. And so we're seeing these imposter forms of justice when the kids should have been able to have it modeled in the home. This is what mission looks like. So what better way to do that? If you're a dad that's willing to adopt that fatherless kid down the street from you and have them over for dinner, help out with the single mom's car issues, and show your kids what that looks like to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
This is huge. It's central. You keep talking about initiation rituals, that we had that in the culture, you know, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. We had that more, this idea of a boy becomes a man, a girl becomes a woman. We had a sense of that kind of order, that you know, you're a child and then you become an adult. And, of course, it's very important for boys. So what did some of those initiations look like, or initiation rituals, and how are you framing that for today? What does that look like?
Well, I believe it's God ordained, and it's gone back since the dawn of man in every culture. There's a moment in time when a boy becomes a man. And so if we don't provide that, then somebody will. Society will. Culture will. That's why we have 40-year-olds living in their mom's basement playing video games all day, living off the system. So we need to create something where we say to a young man, now is the bookmark between chapter 7 and 8 in your life. You were a boy. Now you are putting away childish things, and you are choosing to be a man. It's not when you turn 18. It's not when you can legally drink. It's not when you could be intimate with a woman.
Right.
It's not when you move out. You become a man because you're choosing and deciding this day you're going to be a man. And I'm going to help you understand, A, what it means to be a man, and B, how to step into that responsibility and begin living it out in our home before you go out into the world on your own.
It's interesting that, you know, in the Jewish tradition, they have the bar mitzvah, which is very young, like 13. But we have really kind of extended boyhood infinitely. So that many men are still, as you say, you know, not just living at home, but somehow their way of thinking is boyish. They don't understand. I need to grow up. I need to be a man. I need to find a wife. I need to have a family. I need to step up in my community. Sense of responsibility. Like, that's a beautiful thing. But in a way, we live in a culture that really, you know, it is all about self somehow. It's very sick. So is there Is there a specific thing that you do to initiate people? Is there a ceremony, or is this just more generally what we're talking about?
Yeah. Rites of passage require pain, and so we put young men through one of the toughest challenges of their life. Most young men that come through our program will say it's the toughest thing they've ever done, but it's the best thing they've ever done. And so we do lots of traditions that challenge them physically, emotionally, mentally. We put them in positions where they have to trust their spiritual elders. And ultimately, we're teaching them, first and foremost, what does it mean to be a man? And so whatever you believe, your theology, your belief system, what you form as truth is what informs your behavior and everything you do. So the first thing we need to do is, well, what is a man? A man is someone who seeks God and talks to him and reads his word. A man is a man who has integrity, a person who has integrity, selflessness, purity, work ethic, chivalry. So we're teaching them what it is to be a man, because I think really one of the main problems we have in our society is that boys don't know what it means to be a man. Is it John Wayne? Is it, what is it? So let's define that for them and let's call them into it. And yes, we have a graduation. It's a very secret graduation. It's a very powerful graduation that lasts all night. It's the toughest thing they'll ever do, but it's also one of the most healing things they'll ever do. When they come to our camp, 97% of young men that come to our camp, whether it's from a Native American reservation or from inner city Detroit, 97% of them give their life to Jesus and have a relationship with God, get baptized. 22% come back as leaders in our organization, and over half of them return back to where they're from, Detroit, and they serve as leaders in their community too.
Look, this is beautiful. I hope that there are people listening. I know there are people listening who want to take action. I want to recommend folks go to fatherlessepidemic.com. You can see the film Fatherless Epidemic, but go to fatherlessepidemic.com to find out more, and you can pre-register for the Faithful Fatherhood course. This is exciting. Eric Swithin, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Welcome. As you know, one of our new partners on the Eric Metaxas Show is Americans for Prosperity. Where do we begin? How about today I'm talking to Mark Marie, a regulatory policy fellow at the Americans for Prosperity. Mark Marie, what in the world is a regulatory policy fellow? I know it's more interesting than it sounds. What is it?
Well, that's an excellent question. I bet no one asked you your job because it's pretty obvious. A lot of policies are made not by, you know, Congress or state legislatures. They're made by the administrative state, these administrative agencies that maybe you've heard of a few of them, but you haven't heard of all of them, and you definitely don't know all the work they do to pass the rules that govern your life. Right? Your life is not governed by laws as much as these regulations. And so I help kind of demystify the regulatory state kind of broadly and kind of shine a light on individual policies that are making things more difficult for businesses and for consumers.
Okay, so let's talk about that monster named Joe Biden. He and his administration, and this is why, folks, if you don't vote, you are destroying this country, because what happens when somebody like Joe Biden gets into the White House, they put forth policies that are sick, destroying the country. So the Biden administration is attacking LNG, which makes sense. LNG is a good idea, and so it's their idea, their job to attack good ideas. But most people don't know about this. So keep explaining this, what is happening.
So you know, LNG is just liquefied natural gas. It's how we ship it around the world and really project American, I think, soft power in these weaponized global energy markets and support investment for our domestic energy industry. You know, and keep prices, you know, under control here amidst, you know, Biden's war on energy. So what Biden has proposed is to cut off this last exit, right? He's already strangled kind of domestic investment in domestic energy. Now he wants to cut off the last outlet by saying, we are going to put a moratorium on approving the export of liquefied natural gas around the world. And this is an area where we've been scaling up as a country considerably over the past decade. We've become the world leader. And this is his way in an election year to say in a second term that stops.
Well, so it sounds like the Biden administration is working to destroy America, to make America weak. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Here's yet another example of it. What can their reasoning be, their tortured reasoning?
So what they say is that they need to redo an analysis. You know, the administrative state loves analyses, right? And so there was analysis done 5 years ago to help support what export authorization applications would be granted and which would be denied. That analysis done under the Trump administration in 2019 showed that, you know, whether you're talking about energy prices here, whether you're talking about environmental conditions, whether you're talking about, you know, foreign policy, there's a great need to export liquefied natural gas. And they want to go back to the drawing board saying, well, in 5 years, everything has changed. And so we have to redo this analysis, telegraphing that the outcome is going to be totally different and be used as a pretext to, once the moratorium is lifted, actually deny these export authorizations outright.
What is the best website for people to find out more about your solutions to this policy that Biden is pushing?
Sure. So if you go to www.permittingreform.com, that will get you to Americans for Prosperity's landing page for energy issues, including energy inflation that comes from Bidenomics.
And I don't want to forget to mention Bidenomics.com. Folks, this is the joy. Americans for Prosperity got the website, Bidenomics.com, if you can believe it. And they're actually putting the truth about what Biden is doing to destroy the economy at Bidenomics.com. Check it out.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.